Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is the Likeability.com morning show with your host, Adrian E. Bell. It's another wonderful Likeability Tuesday, June 24, 2014. Can you believe it's June? I can't even believe it's June. That's amazing. And God has done some amazing things. It's been some crazy stuff going on this year, too, though. Let's keep it all the way real. You know, I was like, okay, Jesus, that's enough. But it has been a great year for just God doing his best to try to show himself strong in our lives. If we could just give him access, he will do some amazing things. And today we're going to talk about a very serious topic, but we're going to have a little fun with it. But we do want to talk about anger and how many of us are mad at God. And a lot of people aren't brave enough to talk about that. You know, they'll say things like, well, who are you to, you know, be mad at God? Me, that's got to be me. I'm mad. Sorry. He knows my heart anyway, right? So I may as well keep it real, right? So let's pray. And then let's invite him into our conversation, and then we'll move forward. Father, we just thank you so much, and we love you, and we honor you. We bless you for being so good and kind and gracious toward us. We thank you when you could have taken us out of here, you allowed us to see another day. We thank you for our families and our friends. We thank you for all of the individuals that you put in our lives to pray for us and be there for us. We thank you even for our enemies, oh God, that would try to tear us down. But we know that all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, we just thank you, and we welcome you into this conversation. We thank you because we know that you're going to say something so sweet and loving to us, even when we have the audacity to be upset with you, to be angry with you. We know that you love us. You love us just like a father loves his daughters and loves his sons. And so, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for my co-host today, Denise J. I thank you for her life. I thank you for the ministry. I thank you for the ministry that you have given her to be the woman of God that you called her to be. I thank you for my husband, Donald, and our family. I thank you that he gives me the opportunity to share my gifts with the world. I thank you for all of our listeners and for every family that's represented on our live listeners, as well as our replay. Father, we just thank you, and we welcome your presence even on this morning show, and you get all the glory and the honor and the praise. We serve notice on all the forces of darkness that this show will go forth unhindered and uncontaminated by any satanic force. Everyone will be able to hear clearly, and you will get the glory, oh God, and we give you all the praise, God, all the glory, for the strong, matchless, and unbeatable name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about anger. And like I said earlier, that many people don't like talking about it. They just brood, and they're upset with God internally. And so people are trying to figure out, oh, what's wrong with her? What's her issue? She's probably mad at God because she didn't get her way, or she felt like something should have happened. So we'll get into that in just a moment. I want to also welcome our faithful listeners, those of you that have been with us since day one. We appreciate the shares on Facebook. We appreciate you emailing the shows. We appreciate all that you've done. Welcome to all of our new listeners as well. Last week was our anniversary, my husband and I. It was our 14th year anniversary. Shout out to the Bells. Okay, so it was wonderful last week, so thank you so much for all of the love and support that you show my husband and I. It's not easy putting our business out here. And even though, you know, I had a friend of mine tell me recently that you can be transparent without exposing yourself. And so I thank God that he covers us, and he allows us to say those things that will be a blessing to others. So you can download all of our past episodes on iTunes, all of past episodes of Likeability.com Morning Show on iTunes. You can just Google it and just say Likeability.com on iTunes, and then you'll be able to download it. So what a blessing to go back and revisit some of our past shows. Before we move forward, I want to bring in my fabulous co-host, the Denise Jordan, my affectionately known as Denise J. Good morning, Denise J.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you, fabulous lady?
Absolutely wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Listen, so last week, you and I had a very interesting conversation about spiritual maturity and how we need to grow up. And so in my mind, I was thinking, okay, why do we have temper tantrums as Christians? Well, a lot of the times, we just need to grow up in some areas. And, honey, let me tell y'all about my co-host, my lovely co-host. Y'all, she went in for about 5 minutes. Y'all hear her talking, but she is not like a real big talker. I just set my phone down and let her go in, and she went in about spiritual maturity and how God is calling us to grow up. And that's why a lot of things happen in our lives that we call ourselves being mad at God, but a lot of times he's trying to get us to grow in an area. He's trying to get us, for me personally, I was mad at God about a particular family matter, and I'm like, really, God, really? I mean, and here I get on my high horse. Here's me. I'm putting myself on my horse. I'm like, Lord, you know, and then I did this, and I did this, and I'm running down my spiritual resume to God, and he's like, are you done? Are you finished? Because I'm not impressed. And I was like, okay. So then he began to show me where I needed to work on me. And then he also began to show me where I made mistakes. And that's what we're going to get into today about, you know, signs and show. Okay, did I bring this anger on myself, or am I putting this on myself when it's not even my assignment to be mad? Okay, so we'll get into that in just a moment. But sis, can you talk to our audience about just the revelation that you had regarding spiritual maturity and how it all ties in with anger and how we are upset with God, and even your journey about how you were upset with God, particularly when your mom passed away a few years ago?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to acknowledge, one, that we are angry with God.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you said earlier, God knows our hearts, so he knows what's in our hearts, so we just might as well admit it to him anyways, that we're angry. And then find that, and then talk to yourself and talk to the Lord and find out, why are you angry with God? And a lot of times it is because it's us that missed the mark. It's if we look in the mirror, you know, Michael Jackson had this song, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm talking to myself. The mirror is up in front of me. I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, okay, where did I miss it? What did
right.
I do wrong? And a lot of times people don't want to have that conversation with themselves because, okay, it's obviously not me. I haven't done anything wrong. It's them. It's the husband. It's the kids. It's the coworker. It's the pastor. It's the first lady. It's everybody but me.
Right.
I'm perfect. I haven't done anything wrong. And so we have to do that self-analysis and step back and say, where did I miss it? Where did I go wrong? And what I'm finding is in talking to people and watching everyday Christians want to grow up, they do not want to take responsibility for their actions, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to look at everybody else and everything else and not look at the person in the mirror. How do you get up in the morning and you stand in the mirror without analyzing yourself before you dress yourself?
Right.
Where did I go wrong? And before I went to bed, where did I go wrong at work? Where did I go wrong when I cut that driver off? Where did I go wrong when I didn't get up and go to church on Sunday? Where did I go wrong when I didn't go to Bible study? Where did I go wrong?
Wow.
And so I think we have to get back to the basics of the Word. I mean, that is our foundation, the Word of God. And until we realize that we need to get back to basics, then we're always going to be, like the Bible says, tossed to and fro. You know, the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, is to lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow. Now, we've all been babies physically,
yes.
Came out of the womb, had bottles on the breast. We were taking milk. But at some point in time, our parents began to introduce some baby food and a little more solid food, and we began to grow and mature.
Right.
And the Bible is no different. We are to grow up. We are responsible for every single word that we hear from the pulpit, from when we study, guarding our ear gates and our heart. We are responsible, not God. It's already laid out there for us. We have to take up the word of God into our heart, confess it out of our mouths, and live this word every single day. Now, keep in mind, the Bible says that we have an adversary who's roaring around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he didn't say he will devour. He says may devour. He will only devour you unless you give him permission.
I know
so
that's
how
right.
How will he devour us? By our disobedience, by us not studying the word, by us not praying, by us not going to church, tithing, you know, respecting other people, and just simply stop being angry at the world and look at ourselves. The Bible says everything that we do should be done decently and in order. Are you out of order, or are you in order? I think it's time for us to do a spiritual checkup, people. This world is not something that we should desire. We should desire the things of the Lord, not the things of the world. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babes when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. Meaning, don't allow yourself to be seized by the traps of the enemy.
Yes.
Be innocent as babes, but understand that you need to recognize what's real and what's fake. The devil will always show you the good side of evil, but he will never show you the consequences of evil, nor will he show you the blessings for you doing what is right.
Wow.
Never. He will show you things that appear to be real, and it's only temporary, but the word of God is permanent.
Yes.
So how do we grow up? How do we grow up? One, we acknowledge that we are angry. Two, we acknowledge that maybe there's something in me that I missed. Maybe it's something I didn't do. Maybe it's someone I allowed into my life. You know, earlier in the year we had a show about soul ties. Who are you tied to emotionally, physically, spiritually, that could be bringing you down, that could be causing you not to reap all of what God has for you? Did you know that you could be a hindrance to your own prayers being answered? Yeah, you, the person in the mirror. Me, absolutely. I've been there. I've been a hindrance to my own prayers being answered. When I was so deep into my depression after I lost my mom, it was all about me. Why me? Why did I have to see this? Why did she have to leave me? Why did I have to go through this? And the Lord has been showing me, even up until this day, how my mother, my loving mother, tried to prepare her daughter for her leaving, and her daughter just didn't want to hear it. How many times have God warned us, and we just didn't want to hear what he had to say?
Wow.
One of the things I like you say a lot, Adrian, is like, no, God, I got this. Do we really have this? This is just a little bitty problem, Father. I can take care of. You got this whole world to deal with. I can take care of this little bitty problem here at my job, or this little bitty problem here at home, or the little bitty problem with the mechanic, or whatever. The Bible says to cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He didn't say cast what you think you can't handle. He said all. And by the definition of all, it means everything that's weighing you down or could be a heavy weight to you. Cast it over to the Lord. But, you know, we have to walk in obedience too. So we can't then cast all of our problems on the Lord and then turn around and just be completely disobedient to his word.
Wow.
The Bible says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the devil is not going to flee from you until you resist him. And you're not going to be able to resist him until you first submit to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Which means we think one way and we do something else. We do something else and we think another way. No.
Wow.
We are to think like God and do like God. And, you know, he's loving kind. He's a compassionate God. He's understanding. He knows that we are just going to mess up. We are just going to miss the mark. And he made a way of escape for that in 1 John 1:9. You know, we're going to miss it. But sin, as a believer, sin should not become a practice. It should not become our lifestyle. The word of God, his characteristics, should become our lifestyle. So when we say, I'm angry at God, really are we angry at ourselves for not doing what God told us to do?
Yes.
And that was a big pill that I had to swallow. I was really angry at myself. I wasn't angry at God. I was angry at myself and allowed myself to get to a point where I couldn't function. I was always crying, and I just didn't want to be around people, and I wanted to isolate myself. I was angry at myself because I knew better. I knew better. And like a mother, I should have listened to my mother. And like God, we need to listen to him. Because he really does know best. I mean, after all, he created the whole world. And he actually created you before you were even thought about being created with your parents. So how much more should we listen to our Heavenly Father? People say God is so judgmental. Well, no, he's not judgmental. He's a loving Father.
Yes, he is.
And he wants the best for his children. And so he has to put these rules into place so that when we're out and about living our lives, we don't get hurt. We're always under the protection of God. I think about when my boys were little, and I would tell them, just think about God's hand as an umbrella, and it's raining outside. As long as you're standing under his umbrella, you won't get wet. But the minute you step out from underneath that umbrella, then you're subject to all the rain and all the elements that are coming out of the sky. And then you'll have to deal with it after you dry off. You'll be getting sick. You've got a cold. You get the flu. But if you simply just stay under the hand of God, then you'll be protected. And although it's raining out there, God will protect you. God will protect you. So let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves. Let's acknowledge that we are angry, possibly with God, and then look in the mirror and let's say, what have I done wrong? Where have I missed it? And then take an analysis and say, okay, Lord, if I missed it, I mean, because some of us are even too proud to even say that I did in fact miss it. So, okay, Lord,
right.
If I miss it, show me where, just in case, Lord, just in case if I missed it, show me where I could have done something a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
And even in your pride and your arrogance, because God loves you and he wants the best for you, he will show you.
Yes, he will.
It may hurt, but he will show you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for coming down my street. Thank you for trying to check me today. It's all good. I had that experience last week. That's what it was. I started out being angry with someone else. Started out being angry with God. It kind of went in stages. First, I was angry with the person. And I'm like, you know, how dare you do this? Or how dare you do that? And then I said, wait, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them. God, really? How could you let that happen? How dare you? And I do that. I was saying this out of my mouth. I can laugh about it now, but I was so angry until have you ever been so angry until, not that you're sick to your stomach, but you can literally feel like fire in your stomach? That's how when people, while we have to be careful, there's a thing the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, to be angry but sin not. The issue is, God is never telling us not to be angry because we're human. He made us in his image, in his likeness. So he gets angry. He got angry. He got angry with the children of Israel when they were like, well, we don't want him. We want somebody else. We want a new leader. So then he was like, okay, I'll do this. So God is jumping through all these hoops. And finally he got upset and was like, you know what? I'm going to kill everybody. I'm sick of all y'all. And that's what some of us as wives and as mothers and as daughters and siblings and whatever, we say that out loud. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with everybody. I'm just done. And then we get angry and we isolate ourselves and we make ourselves, we become the victim. We feel like nobody should be hurt but me. I am the only one that should be in the victim seat. So excuse me. I want to be the only one suffering right now. And so God is really like, is she really going to do this? So have you ever looked at a baby or even an adult that literally has a temper tantrum? And it's actually amazing. When I watch the babies do it, I'm like, oh, wow, I can only watch it for a little bit, and then I'm going to get up and catch myself up. But then when I watch adults have temper tantrums, literally stumping their feet, slamming doors. I was queen of, I had a slamming door ministry. When my husband and I first got married, I had a slamming door ministry. I used to slam doors and dare him to come through that door because I was going to let him have it because I was so angry because I always felt like he was trying to, hurt me. And I'm like, wait a minute, he wasn't trying to hurt me. So then I was done being mad at him. Then I would go to God. Well, God, why would you let him treat me that way? Why would you let him say what he said to me? Why would you let him? And God is like, really? I'm just going to let you talk. And that's how he'll do. So God does not entertain me in my pity parties. He does not come to my pity parties. And so that's what some of us do. And then what we do is we want to call different people to see what kind of reaction they're going to give us. So you call your mama, and your mama say, baby, just pray. Mama loves you, just pray. And you're like, mama, you ain't got nothing to say. You hang up from her, then you call your girlfriend, the ride or die, the one that'll slash tires with you, the one that'll, that'll go and cut somebody with you. You call her and say, girl, let me tell you what happened. And then you start telling her what happened. She's like, well, girl, we just got to pray. Wait a minute. Wait. No, I was expecting you to say you was going to join me in the slashing of the tires. And that's what I was hoping you would do. And so, like you said, sis, we have to get to a point where we ask God, wait a minute, hold up. Did I do something wrong? Yes, there's a pretty good chance you did. And that's the ownership that I had to take on myself. In this particular matter that I was upset about and angry about, I was upset with myself because I had the red flags and I ignored them. How many of us ignore the red flags that we get? We get into relationships with these men, or we get in relationships with these women. We get into ministry relationships, so on and so forth. And a red flag will happen, and we just ignore it. We just keep going through it like it never happened. But then God is like, well, sweetie, I tried to show you. I tried to show you. We'll say stuff real deep in our prayers. God, just show me. Show me who I need to have in my life and show me direction for my life, and he'll start showing you. We be in there praying real hard and real deep. Just show me, God. Just show me. And you put people in my life that, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So if you want me to put people in your life that's for you and that will pray for you, that means I got to remove some people that aren't good for you. And then we get angry with people when they turn their backs on us. But remember, you prayed a prayer. So that's the thing. When we pray a prayer, we have to remember, this wasn't a setup for me to be angry. This was a prayer that I prayed for God to expose and reveal and remove the people in my life that do not belong. When Mary and Martha was mad because Lazarus died. And I believe Martha was like, you know what? My brother wouldn't have died if you would have came. Because Jesus took 4 days to come. Because they told Jesus he was getting ready to die. And Jesus was like, oh, okay, you know, he was a little sad, but he kept on healing people where he was, right? But because you have an emergency doesn't mean it's God's emergency. Just because you have a 911 doesn't mean it's on God's agenda or priority. And that's where we get angry with God, because you're like, God, come on, you're not moving fast enough. My biological clock is ticking. I need to go ahead and spit this last baby out, or I need to have a baby because my husband's going to try to find somebody else to have a baby with. I need you to come on with it, Jesus. It's taking too long. And then we get angry when the sister at the church is pregnant and we're not. See, God can't bless us when we're resentful or envious. Because then the question is, why am I angry? Why do I want these things? And when I ask people why they're angry, they usually say, because people are going to think, or because people are going to say. It's never, a lot of the times it's that, or it's, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look, you know, you're not going to make me look crazy. Those are the type of things that we say. It's all pride. And so here's the thing. Let me go back to God when he was angry with the children of Israel. So when God was going to kill everybody, Moses had to, and I talked about this before, Moses had to counsel our God, our Heavenly Father, and say, hey, you love them. These are your people. And if you kill them, who's going to worship you? And so even God, he can have the wrath. He can be wrathful. But at the very moment, we wouldn't have existed if God would have given in to his own anger. But he allowed Moses to minister to him and say, you know what, God, you can't kill them. You can't cut them off, because who's going to worship you? Who's going to praise you? Who's going to have more babies to worship you, to live for you? Who's going to carry on the legacy? And that's the thing. When we get angry with people, we got to ask ourselves, do I need to really cut this person off, or do I just need to deal with whatever happened and move on? And that's the question I have to ask for myself. Deal with it and move on. Be angry, but see where I wanted to stand. Let me tell you where I wanted to stand. I wanted to retaliate. I wanted them to hurt just like I hurt. I wanted them to feel the pain of betrayal that I felt. I wanted their heart to ache. Have you ever been so hurt and so angry that you felt like your heart was literally going to come out of your chest?
Absolutely.
And so, again, I had to ask myself, okay, wait a minute. What did I do? I had the red flags. When he told me to get up and pray, I didn't for those particular people. He told me to get up and pray. He told me to do certain things, and I refused to do it. I'm not praying for them. Are you crazy? I'm praying for them. And so we get on our high horse when we get angry. But the difference between anger and rage is it's okay to be angry. And then when I understood that and got that in my spirit, that I can be angry, that really helped me with my spiritual walk, because I thought I was, like, not really a Christian if I was angry, because I was angry all the time, right? But the rage part is where I would sin. The slamming of the doors, that's rage. Flashing tires, ma'am, that's rage. You know, getting on Facebook, being reckless, saying things. What's funny to me when people get on Facebook and they post things and it's directed at a particular person, but you're not bold enough to tag that person and say how you really feel. So my thing is, if you don't have the capacity to call that person and say, this is what you did, don't get on Facebook. Don't waste a Facebook status on somebody that's probably not even looking at your status. We let anger show in our statuses, and then when people see us in person, they'll be like, you all right? Everything all right? What you mean, girl? I'm good. No, you're not, because your last status was off the chain. You all right? So me included, I've been reckless. I've posted things out of anger. And God was like, really? I remember I was trying to post something one time, and the internet would not allow me to post it because it was angry, it was nasty, and God was like, you told me to protect you, right? I'm not going to let you post this. When we get to a place with our anger, let's analyze the fact that, yeah, okay, we already discovered that we could be the ones that missed the mark. Okay, we could have, like Denise was talking about, when Denise was talking about how we could have been the one to start, you know, to open that door to the enemy, okay, or to the to evil. But here's the thing: before we get angry, we have to ask ourselves, what responsibility do I have in this issue? Because a lot of us are just nosy. And we're in other people's business, and we're angry about things that are not even our business. You're angry about how another person raises their child. You're angry about how the pastor and the first lady aren't doing what they should do. Leave the church. Don't talk about them. Just leave. Leave quietly. Don't take the entourage with you. Just leave. But don't talk about them. We're angry about, you know, your coworker. She stabbed you in the back. You were supposed to get the promotion, but she got the promotion instead. Could it have been your attitude? Could it have been the spirit of, I deserve this? I got my MBA. I got my doctorate, but you're still a secretary. Could it be that you have a secretary's mind? Could it be that you have an executive assistant spirit, that's all you can handle right now? Because why would God allow you to get a management role when you can't even manage your own emotions? Why would God allow you to get an executive role and you can't administrate your own life? Your house is nasty. You ain't had sex with your husband in 3 years. You haven't done the things that you need to do, take care of your kids. Why would God allow you to be elevated and you can't handle what you got? Oh, I'm just so overwhelmed. It's just, oh, my God, it's just so much. But you want elevation. But you're mad, though. Be mad at the fact that your house ain't clean. Be mad at the fact that you haven't done what God told you to do. Be mad at the fact that he advised you to wake up and pray. People think they're waking up to go to the bathroom. That's just, that's great. But when you get up to go to the bathroom, you need to be praying and saying, okay, God, show me, is there something you want me to see? Is there something I need to be aware of? Is there something that I need to prepare for? But we're mad at him, but then we ask him to show us stuff. He shows us, and we completely ignore him. You know, some of us, we talk about how, you know, some of us have gone through the pain of a spouse cheating on us, whether it be emotional cheating or, you know, texting or things of that nature. And then we have to ask ourselves, how much attention was I really giving him? And then I get wives that say things to me like, you know, I was there for him, and I did this for him, and I did that for him. I cooked all his food. I ironed his pajamas. I ironed his underwear and his socks. There's no reason he should have cheated on me. And then when I say, okay, but where was God? And, I mean, did you pray? Well, you know, no, I haven't really been praying. You know, I've just been so busy. So why are you mad? If you did not give God permission to be activated in your life and in your marriage, we can't be mad at him when we are the ones who ignore him. I know people who are envious of other couples or other families or whatever the case may be. I have a friend now who, you know, prospers, doing very, very well. Don't tithe ever, ever, never, ever tithe. Always got money. Traveling, doing whatever. And I found myself being envious, saying, hold up, God, wait a minute. I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving my offering. I'm helping the poor. But this person is prospering. He said, hold up, why are you looking at them? Because that person has no peace. See, all that looks well, people wearing, you know, they got the rings and the handbags and the boots and the babies and the cars and the cash. Just because they got that stuff does not mean they have peace. And there are many of us, we choose to be angry because it feels better to be angry, because we feel like if I'm angry, then maybe I'll get what I want. That's a temper tantrum, beloved. When you decide to stay angry until you get what you want. And let me tell you something. God is not impressed with our anger. He's not impressed. We're not moving him. Anger does not move the hand of God. Righteousness does. Anger does not move his heart. Righteousness and making good choices, that's what moves him. But what we'll do good for a week and then we'll fall off. And we'll do good for 3 days and then we'll fall off. And we'll do good for a month and then we'll fall off. He's like, why are you mad? Why are you mad that you're still 100 pounds overweight, Adrian? Why are you still mad? it's not my fault that you had that chocolate yogurt and that Starbucks all in the same hour and the cookie and some other stuff. But anyway, I'm going to get off me. But it's like, but why are you mad, though? You can't be mad if you have not done your part. Because God is a loving God, so he would never allow us to be angry and not show us and say, okay, let me say this. We can be angry, okay, but then we have to ask ourselves, why are we angry? And then once we discover, okay, I'm angry, this upset me, I don't like this, this was wrong, I feel like they should have done this differently, they should have done this, okay, well, they didn't. You can't control other people. You can't control your man's penis. You can't control your wife's vagina. You can't control any of that. All you can do is control your mouth. All you can do is control your attitude. And I made a pact with myself last week. I said, Adrian, do not allow yourself to allow your pride, the fact that this person, these people hurt you, these people dropped the ball or betrayed you or whatever the case may be, don't allow that to ruin your life, because you can't be angry and creative at the same time. So the Bible's like, yeah, go ahead and be angry, but that's all you're going to be thinking about. When the Bible talks about in Philippians 4 about thinking about whatsoever things are lovely and of good report and pure and so on and so forth, I have to really train myself. I am training myself, retraining myself to think positive. It is not easy to think positive. When everybody gets through, they'll be like, girl, you just got to think positive. Girl, bye. I don't want to think positive. I want to cuss. That's what I want to do. I want to slash some tires. I want to go off. That's what I want to do. So please get out of my face. I'm going to focus on positive. I don't want to do that. And I even feel bad when I tell people, you know, to change your thoughts, because I want to jump on the bandwagon with them. I'm like, girl, where they at? Let's get them. Right? But I can't help. We can't help each other when we're enabling each other. I understand that I was acting. My anger was also an act of rebellion. I wanted my way. I wanted payback. I wanted God to allow me to pay these people back without punishment. That is so much pride, it's ridiculous. I wanted to be in charge of the administration of the hurt that they felt, because I didn't deserve that. And have you ever had this self-talk where you're like, I'm just a good person. I'm really a nice person. I don't understand why this is happening to me. And God is really like, are you serious right now? And that's what we do. We take the victim seat. And then when we act out of rebellion is, I ain't going to church. I'm not paying no tithes. I'm not paying no, giving no money. I ain't helping the poor. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to nobody's birthday parties. I'm not going to nobody's dinners. Nothing. I'm not doing nothing. Then we move from anger to bitterness. And that's when the sin starts. So the initial thing can happen. You deal with it, you own it, and say, you know what, that was jacked up what they did. But you know what, God, I release it to you because I can't hold on to that. But what some of us do, once we become angry, then we rest in bitterness. We rest in strife. We rest in wanting to fight about it and talk about it. And some of us just need to stop rehearsing it, Adrian included. I made a pact with myself. I'm not talking about this anymore. And so when God says, when God wants us to graduate from the hurt, graduate from what happened. Yes, it happened. We can't change it. Forgive yourself. You missed the red flags. Okay, you missed it. Doesn't make you a bad person. But what does make you out of fellowship with God is when you do retaliate, when you do slander that person's name, when you do call people and say, we're not talking to so-and-so, we mad at her. That's a spirit of control. That's a spirit of witchcraft. That's a spirit of rebellion, because now you've let your anger get out of control. And then some of us say in our anger, well, I'm angry, but, you know, I would never say anything bad about them. But when you get in your room, you talk about that person. When you're by yourself, you may not be telling anybody about what happened, but you get in your room and you talk about them. You go in your bathroom and you talk about them. you have conversations with yourself, well, you know, if it was me, I would have did this, and how dare they? That's just as bad, because you're still putting it in the atmosphere, and you're not helping the process. You're not helping your process of getting over what happened. So just because you don't talk about it with somebody else does not mean that you're still not struggling with what happened. God doesn't want us to spend our private time or alone time talking to ourselves. Adrian, you just need to stop it, girl. We answering ourselves. We talking to ourselves. We telling ourselves what we need to do. Girl, if I was you, having a whole conversation, and God is like, wow, can I say something? Oh, yeah, yeah, God, come on, I'm listening. That's how we do him. When we're supposed to be alone praying and listening for instruction and allowing him to heal our hearts and allowing him to give us direction on how to move forward, we're in there complaining about what happened. Some of us are talking about stuff from 25, 30 years ago, and then we wonder why we're in the same place. If you're still broke, then we have to ask ourselves, why am I still broke? Why am I still angry about the same thing? And the person, a lot of times, the people we're angry with, they're not even living anymore. We're angry with our fathers. We're angry with our mothers. We're angry with ex-husbands and ex-wives. We're angry even with our children. And God is like, okay, can we graduate from that? Because I'm ready to take you to another dimension. Some of us have businesses and ideas and things we want to do. We want to travel and we want to do some great things for God. But then it's like, well, why? If you're going to get mad at the waiter, Lord, I just want to have some money to go and me and my husband so we can have a date night. Why? So you can have an attitude the whole night? So, well, he didn't open the door for me. I'm mad. Really? That's why some of y'all husbands don't take y'all nowhere, because you get an attitude. Why you wearing that? You got an attitude before he even leave the house. Why you got that on? What you got that on for? Why you wearing that? Well, why are we going to this restaurant? You know I don't like they fish. You know what? I wouldn't take you nowhere either. Because there's, even with being angry, again, even though the Bible gives us permission that it's okay to be angry, but the sin is subtle. The sin can be very subtle. Complaining is a sin. Like just saying stuff that's unfruitful, that's not helping, you talking but you ain't got no solution, that's no, absolutely not. Cussing your man out, cussing your coworkers out, cussing your kids out, just being a complete nuisance. It's okay to be angry, but if it causes you to look like a buffoon, to cause you to look like a fool, then it's like, wow. Then it overrides the fact of whatever you were really mad about. See, that's where I would mess up with my husband, is that I would be angry about something that I should be legitimately angry about. But because I acted a fool, I acted a donkey, I treated him like trash, talking down to him, saying what he better do and what he better not do, that's when I graduated from being angry to sin. So it wasn't the fact that what he did was wrong, but now because I acted like such a donkey, he never even addresses what I'm angry about. And that's what we do, beloved. We get so upset, and then we go fly off the deep end, and then we're like, but they're not even really dealing with the issue because you acted like a donkey. Can we deal with the fact that you acted like a donkey? Then we'll deal with the reason you're angry on another day, because I need you to let that sink in. That's what my husband would be like, oh, let's deal with what you said. Let's deal with that. And then what I was doing was letting him off the hook. Then I acted so stupid, I couldn't even really go back and address what really happened because I acted so crazy. And I say crazy, I mean crazy, like deranged. That's what mad, when I say I'm mad at God, the definition of mad, we really shouldn't even say we're mad because dogs are mad. You know, having a tantrum is an uncontrollable outburst of anger and frustration. Uncontrollable. That means if you're angry and you're having a tantrum, you are sinning. You are out of control. If you're angry and then your absolute mood changes, you're just like, I told him I didn't want him to do that. I didn't want him to put that on that dress on my daughter. I didn't want him to wear it. I didn't want her to wear that. okay, sweetie, well, did you lay anything else out for her? Well, no. I mean, you should know she shouldn't wear that. I mean, she wears a size 7. Why are you putting out a 4? Well, get the 4s out of the closet so that won't be a choice, okay? So we get mad at our husbands, particularly new wives, we get mad at our husbands because they don't do what we think that they should do. Then we turn around and get mad at God because we feel like, well, God, you see what he's doing, so why are you letting him do that? And God is like, okay, well, let's back up. What did you do? Our mood, some of us are so moody, especially females, so moody. And we go from being happy to sad to mad to happy to sad to mad. It's like a roller coaster. It's a whole lot of people that should be on medication. And we look down our noses at those that do have mental health issues. But some of us have mental health issues and we don't even realize it. Some of us are so immature and so out of control until we don't even understand. Being moody is not cute. We had to check that in with our 10-year-old daughter. She's starting to do that moody thing where one minute she's real happy and excited and jumping around and hopping off to, you know, whatever, and the next minute she's just got her arms folded. And we're like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, y'all see that in your kids, check it in right then because that grows into a moody adult. We have to choose what we're going to be angry about. Is it breaking any laws? We really should only be getting mad at sin. We should not be getting mad at our preferences. I prefer that my husband takes me to a particular restaurant. I prefer that he opens my door. I prefer, whatever the case may be. But just because I prefer it and he doesn't do it, does it really qualify for me to be angry? Jesus was angry. Remember when Jesus went to he was in the temple, well, he went to the temple, and the money changers were, they were selling stuff, and that's like in today's time, somebody selling chicken dinners in the sanctuary, okay? So Jesus was like, hold up, this is in Matthew chapter 21, you can read it. And he went in, he just started turning them tables over. Y'all saw the Son of God, some of y'all saw the Passion of Christ. He was turning them tables over. And people was like, well, why did he do that? Because he was angry. He was grieved. So anger should actually be a derivative that you are grieved at a sin that has taken place. But just because you got your feelings hurt, that does not mean necessarily that a sin had taken place. Just because your husband did not do what you think he should do, or the guy you're dating or the girl you're dating, you know, I wanted flowers and he got me candy instead. That ain't no sin. That's just your preference. You just mad. Get over it. Be glad you got some candy, boo. Be glad you got some flowers. But when he was grieved, how dare you come into my daddy's house and act like, you know, turn it into a den of thieves? How dare you? You know, it's okay for us to have a spiritual indignation where you're upset because our God, our Father, is grieved. You know, we're supposed to hate what he hates. He hates pride. He hates sin. He hates when we do things to backbite against our brother. That should make you angry. When we backbite, when people lie and we murder, and we murder with our mouths, and we're being wicked, and we rush to tell evil, we rush to gossip, we tell a false witness, we tell people, we say, well, girl, you just say that you were there, and but you really wasn't. Being somebody's alibi when they're doing wrong, God doesn't like that. So if anybody should be angry, it should be him. So we need to walk away from this conversation today in a spirit of repentance and say, God, I'm sorry for all the times I tried to counsel you on my life, for all the times I tried to act like I knew better than you. Forgive me. Help me to grow up. Help me. But then we also need to pray a prayer of mercy. Lord, don't make an example out of me. I'm so sorry. Because if we call ourselves being mad at God, we better not die. We better not. And when I say mad, meaning we're in the very act of retaliation, in the very act of bitterness, the very act of strife, the very act of being, I'm mad at God, so since he won't give me no husband, I'm just going to sleep with whoever come my way. He ain't even got to be cute. My husband cheated on me, so I'm going to find me a married man to cheat with. Or a married woman, praise God, depending on who we're talking to. Some of us, we say we're not going to church, so we make sure that we work every Sunday so we don't have to be at church. So we will operate in the spirit of idolatry because we lost loved ones and we lost, you know, people that have lost babies. And, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow. But God loves our loved ones best. We are not here temporarily. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And I think we think that. So when God allows us to give birth to babies and things of that nature, we think, this is my baby. This is God's baby. He allowed you to have this baby. He allowed you to be married to that husband. And even though, God, you know, my heart goes out to the widows and to those who have lost babies and children and things of that nature, but God loved them best. And here's the thing, we're actually supposed to celebrate when people die, and especially when they're in God and we know that they're on their way to heaven, we're actually supposed to celebrate. And we're actually supposed to cry when a baby is born, because the baby is being born into all types of sin and disease and iniquity and all this stuff and war and pestilence. They're being born into craziness. So we're really supposed to cry then, but we got it backwards. We cry when our loved ones leave us. So I submit to you today. We submit to you today. Being angry is okay. But be angry for a moment. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to sleep on your anger. That means you got to put it somewhere. You either put it back in the hands of God. You say, God, I'm angry about this situation. It hurt me. I feel crushed. I feel betrayed. But you know what, God? I give it back to you. And I know that person will come back and apologize. I know you allow that person to come back and make it good. But even if they don't, God, I trust you that you got me. That's one way to let go of the anger. And then the other way, you send it back to hell from which it came. Oh, so somebody, I had a lady call me a Jezebel, which is hilarious to me. She called me a Jezebel. I was so angry. And after it happened, I was so angry, and I got off the phone, and I cried like a baby because I wanted to retaliate because I had dirt on her that her husband didn't know because I could have ruined her life. And God said, you shut your mouth, and you don't say nothing. And I said, God, this is not fair. Remember, I went from being mad at her to mad at God. It's not fair. So I sent that mess back to the pit of hell. I ain't nobody's Jezebel. I don't want nobody's head on a platter. I ain't nobody's Jezebel. That goes back to the pit of hell. If it's not true, why you mad? I had to ask myself, if it's not true, why you mad? So when people lie on you, just make sure it ain't true what they're saying. If people have false information or share things that they think they know about you, or they gossip or whatever, just make sure what they're saying is not true. So you either give it to God to deal with your anger, or you give it or send it back to the pit of hell where it belongs. I had somebody tell me that I'm not a good parent. I know I'm a great parent. I allowed that thing to almost crush me. I sent it back to the pit of hell because my children, Proverbs 31 says, your children will praise her in the gates, and my children speak well of me, praise God. I don't take any credit for it, but I say all that to say, some of us are struggling with the same things. So as we close, what do I do with my anger? Send it, give it to God and say, God, you deal with it, or send it back to the pit of hell and where it came from. Anger is sent to distract us from what's really important. And what's really important is our worship to God. What's really important is that we carry out the assignment that he's given us. But some of us have nurtured our anger. Some of us have given our anger a name. Some of us have dressed our anger. Some of us have we wake up with our anger. We go to bed with our anger. We put our anger in the car. We go to events with our anger. Some of y'all that still go to the club, you know, y'all got, what's wrong with you? What's up, Miss Lady? You all right? You ain't smiling. Why are you going to the club? You're going to look stupid. You're going to look mad. I mean, I'm just saying, you may as well save your $10 unless you're going before 9. Amen. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to go and have a good time, but don't go and waste your money and look angry when you get there, angry because I know I ain't going to find no man here. I know I'm not going to find no man. So why are you going? Angry because you don't have a husband. Why?
You don't even like people. So why do you want a husband? That's the stuff we don't think about when we call ourselves being mad. Wait a minute. Or pastors. You know, how are you going to be in the people business and you don't like people? Like, who does that? How are you going to be a counselor, a life coach, and you don't like people? But we're angry because our gifts are, you know, the Bible says the gifts will make room for you. Yes, it will, but if your attitude stinks, don't nobody want to have nothing to do with that. You can be mad by yourself. So, you know, there's a saying that says, I can do bad by myself. You can also be mad by yourself. So don't get mad when people don't want to be around you. Don't get mad when people get upset when they say, and you say, well, I called so-and-so, she ain't called me back because she don't want to hear you talk about how angry you are. If your husband cheated and you don't want him no more, leave. But don't talk about him. Don't talk bad about him. Just leave. He did what he did. It was what it was. Keep it moving. Your baby daddy, he don't pay child support. Okay, I'm so sorry, but he didn't have a job when you got with him, boo. So why are you mad? We got to let this stuff go and say, you know what? I made a bad choice. God gave me red flags. He gave me signs, and I ignored them. It was what it was. I'm moving forward. I'm moving on. I'm done with this. I'm closing the chapter of this book. And here's the thing. When things like that happen, don't take it personal. That's the thing. We internalize anger. That is not what it's for. It's okay to be upset, but don't go to bed with it. Don't make it a part of who you are. When people say stuff like, oh, she's just like that. That's just who she is. I don't want nobody to describe me as like, oh, she's cute and she this and she's just angry all the time. I don't want nobody to talk about me like that. I don't. How can I say a woman, I'm a woman of God and I got my face all turned up looking stupid? Y'all, we got to do better. We got to grow up. God is calling us to grow up and grow up quickly. God is calling us to stop being infants, infant Christians. Now, there's many of us who come in to being, when we come into the body of Christ, we're infants. We don't really, we trust God, you know, we're just so excited, and we're like, oh, you know, we don't have any inhibitions, you know, nobody has hurt us in the church, we're good. But then when we graduate to being a toddler, and we done fell a few times. We had a few bad relationships, you know, a few bad, not relationships, but a few bad falls, you know, how toddlers are trying to learn how to walk. And so you learn one scripture and then you totally misapply the scripture and stuff like that. So, you know, those are the type of issues that we have when we're growing as Christians. Okay, then we graduate from being a toddler to being elementary in our Christian walk. Right? We'll sit and we'll go to church and we'll learn and we'll take notes and then, you know, we try to develop a relationship with God and we're like, okay, God, I just want more of you. I just want to learn and, you know, now you're walking on your own and nobody has to remind you to go to Bible study and pay your tithes. You know, so you're being a good elementary Christian. Then you graduate to middle school and these are when the defining moments happen. This is when you have those relationships that start to hurt. Those, you have your first, you know, prayer partner that don't talk to you no more. Or you have that pastor that betrayed you. Or that first lady that talked about you. Or you have your coworkers who upset you. And instead of you making it good, you made it worse. Now, don't nobody talk to you at work. Right? Then we graduate from being middle school students to high school students. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I got this. I've been in the church since I was an infant. I know it all. I know every scripture that's ever been written in the Bible. I'm doing me. That's what we do in high school. In high school, that's when we're developing who we are. We can see being 18 in our mirror. So that's what we're pressing toward. So we see, you know, those of us who are high schoolers and we're looking for a husband. We ain't thinking about nothing else, house, nasty, credit, jacked up. We just thinking about being with that man. Then those of us who we graduate from the spiritual high school, and we're like, okay, you know, I got to do better. I'm a senior now, and I got to graduate. So then you get to college, and that's when you're getting like your 20s, 30s. That's when we start making really bad decisions, sleeping with people, having babies with guys, having babies with ladies, right, making bad decisions, and we're trying to figure out why my life is the way that it is. And then some of us get into our 30s and 40s, Some would say that's when you should be, I should say 40s and 50s, that should be your graduate school level. But let me tell you something. Wisdom does not have an age, and I know a whole lot of angry old people. Refuse to be old and angry. Refuse to allow the enemy to make you think that your life has been a complete waste of time. Refuse to allow the enemy to make you think that you're a failure or that, well, if I shouldn't, because what we do is when we say look at yourself, then we, some of us stay there, and then we're angry with ourselves for 20 and 30 years. But we got to let that go too. Yes, I dropped the ball on that, but Lord, I give it back to you that I will never do that again. You know, I slashed that lady's tires. I send that back to the pit of hell. I will never do that again. Put it somewhere. Give it to God or send it back to the pit. That's your assignment for the rest of your life. When you're angry about something, because anger is going to come. The Bible never says that we weren't going to ever be angry. That is absolutely not true. But we do have control over what we do with it. Now, people ask me questions like, well, what do you do? What do you do when you're angry? Like, but I can't get rid of this feeling, though. I still feel angry. The feeling is just like with forgiveness. I don't feel like forgiving them. I don't feel like it. I want to be mad. I want to be angry. But it's not about feeling like it. You forgive with your mouth. You know what? I forgive you. I release you from having to pay me back for what you did to me. I release you. I release the anger because I love you. I replace it because I respect you or whoever this person is. Because some of us are angry with our bosses. We're angry because they passed us over for a promotion. I remember when I got passed over for a promotion and the person that got hired can't even read. No lie. I'm serious. They can't read. And so I'm like, really? Are you serious? The guy was like, but your attitude is so jacked up, I will not allow you to get that position. And all I could do was say, you know what, God? And I worked on it, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I asked God to change me, and he did. And I did get promoted eventually. I think it was like a year later after I didn't want it anymore. And that's the thing. Some of us allow our anger to interfere with our prayer life. We allow our anger to interfere with everything we do in life, and then we wonder why we don't prosper. But it's your decision. God ain't going to make you stop being angry. Like, you don't pray to stop being angry. Lord, help me to stop being angry. No, that's a decision. Just like with forgiveness. Lord, help me to forgive. He'll help you know when you need to forgive, but it's still your decision. It is your decision to let the anger go. Now, he'll help you after you've made that decision. So you make the decision to forgive and to move on from anger with your mouth. I forgive you. I'm no longer angry. I send that back to the pit of hell, or I give it over to God. That's how you release it. You don't release it because your heart feels better. You don't release it because you feel better. You release it because it's the right thing to do. Because I refuse to die of any type of illnesses because of anger or because of unconfessed sin or because of issues that I'm having with somebody. I absolutely refuse. My life is too valuable for that. I thank y'all for allowing me to vent to y'all today. And I see the feeds, and I thank God that God is blessing somebody, and this is freeing them, because we're not alone, y'all. I struggle too, just like y'all do. I struggle every day, sometimes every moment of the day sometimes. Then it's like a battle in my mind to keep me from going smooth off. So it's okay to be angry, but don't sin. Don't give in to the sin. Let it go, give it to God, or send it back to the pit from which it came. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much for this word that you shared with us today. Father, forgive us for all the times we tried to counsel you. Forgive us for being angry because we felt like you didn't give us a baby when we felt like we deserved it. But we know we don't have any money anyway to take care of a baby right now. So, Father, forgive us for being resentful. Forgive us for being resentful for not having the things to finances that we think we need for to meet, quote unquote, our needs, but they're really not needs, they're wants. They're things that we want that's not something that you need us to have right now. Father, forgive us for all the times that we were angry with people and we acted out our anger in rage and we slashed tires and we cussed people out and we posted nasty things on Facebook and social media and we started rumor mills and slander. God, forgive us for being ugly. And how dare we be Christians and say we are Christians and women and men of God, and we represent you so poorly. Forgive us, God. We're so very sorry for the times that we betrayed you, for the times when we made you a promise and we didn't come through, for the times that you were angry with us because we didn't do what we said we were going to do. Father, forgive us, because we know you love us. We know you're not mad at us. We thought you were angry with us, but we were actually angry with ourselves. Or we assumed you were angry with us, so we treated other people in an angry manner. Or we stopped talking to you because we thought you stopped talking to us. Forgive us, God. Help us to start over and to see you in everything. Help us to apply Philippians 4, that we think on whatever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, and that we think on positive things. We think on your word. We think about the things that you've done. We think of the goodness that you've been so good to us when you should have cut us off. Thank you, God, for not cutting us off in our anger, for not cutting us off in our rage. Those times when we jumped in our cars, when we could have gotten a deadly accident, we could have hurt somebody. The times when we got drunk and we got in our cars and we got behind the wheel and we could have killed somebody. But God, you spared us and you saved us and you helped us regardless of how we were behaving. We were Christians behaving badly and you still covered us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, our peace. So we release peace in every area of our lives, that we will not be consumed by anger anymore, and that your Holy Spirit will train us that when situations that cause us to be angry come along, that we send it back to you or back to hell where it came from. And so, Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for a renewed vigor. Thank you for a renewed purpose. Thank you for a renewed life. Thank you for a renewed way of looking at life, and that we choose to live the life that you've chosen for us and not the one we think we should live. Father, we give our complete lives to you, everything. You know the plans that you have for us. You told us to write the vision and make it plain. So we wrote the vision, Lord, but the plans are up to you. So we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We bind the hand of the enemy that will come to try to snatch this word from the people that received it, those that received it live and those that will receive it via the replay. We come against the enemy now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. You are defeated even now. So it's in the name of Jesus we pray, and we love you so much, oh God, and thank you for sparing our lives when you could have taken us out. We appreciate you so much. Amen. Until next time, you all, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. God bless, and have a wonderful, fantastic week. Amen.